What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What has Trot shown you as a young kid?
Trot, yeah, I think Trot's got a good future, and that future may be now. He's got good instincts, really likes the game. He's smart. You know, he's got a lot of good qualities.
Well, 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 welcome back. It's Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. The voice there, Hugh, of Vic Fangio just a few minutes ago. So obviously, Hugh, a big story coming into this week now is the unfortunate loss of N'Kobe Dean. And I think we all saw the same thing on Sunday. When he went out, the Packers were like, hey, we're going to throw to Josh Jacobs right at Oren Burks. And Oren Burks struggled in pass coverage. Now, I was assuming, Hugh, and I'm still going to assume Oren Burks is going to be the next guy up. But what do you make of Fangio kind of opening the door that maybe Trot's going to play more on Sunday?
Probably not going to be the starter, but he could play an intricate part in that. And we talked about this a little bit last night on the Players Lounge, where the reason why they had a time where they split time a little bit, because both guys play special teams. Mm-hmm. So if Jeremiah Trotter Jr. could come in and he could solidify that spot, you never know. I'm excited on so many different levels for this, because I know I haven't seen it, but I can just imagine – every night when Jeremiah Trotter Jr. comes home or he gets where he's going, that him and his dad are looking at film.
Of course.
And Trot is telling him about certain things that he sees and everything. And it allows Trot to be closer to the game and be involved with his son and just having that time together, man. That's really, really cool. And I'm excited about it. And that's the one guy who, when you talk about the moment being too big, he probably didn't heard about this and prepare for this moment. Ever since he was drafted by Eagles. So I don't think that being in this moment and the lights being so big, I don't think he'll be overwhelmed by any of that.
Trot's going to be pumped if you talk to Trot.
I have not. I haven't talked to him. I probably send him a message and see what he's thinking, but I'm pretty sure he's stoked. He's pretty stoked.
Gotta be.
Could you imagine the link on Sunday night? You're talking about through the cold and the darkness. Could you imagine if it's like, you know, 6 o'clock on Sunday, fourth quarter of that game, Eagles up, I don't know, 7-10, Rams driving, trying to get back in the game, 5 minutes to go, and Trot makes a big third down stop on a you know, let's say a pass to the running back, and he stops before he gets to the first down. The link will explode. If Trotter, it makes the stop to kind of seal the game, man.
I feel like if I was writing his origin story, it has to be a big interception. It has to be he drops into coverage, and he gets a pick, and he takes it for like 20 yards. That right there, that's how I kind of feel. Because he's very smart. He was smart when he was at Clemson. And you know, just being able to watch film with your pops and understand different concepts that are going on and things like that, I see that more so than anything. Because that's the one thing that his father brought to the table, his instincts, and being able to recognize certain pass sets and formations and knowing exactly where the ball could go. So I can see that. I see that more so than a big stop plugging the hole.
We got to get a junior chant going at the link.
Oh, man. He was on with the morning show during the summer at camp. He landed on what he wanted his nickname to be, wasn't it? Was it Axeman Junior? Trot you? He told them. Maybe we could dig it up before we get to the end of the week. 215-592-9494. So Vic Fangio says it could be now, Jeremiah Trotter Jr.'s time, as the Eagles need to replace the Kobe Dean. That'll be a fun subplot as we get closer to the weekend. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Your thoughts on Jalen Hurts. Our Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation. PIDentalCenter.com. We've discussed Jalen's performance on Sunday against the Packers, 13-21, you know, in the low 100 yards. It wasn't bad by any stretch. I mean, Jalen played fine. We've seen Jalen play like this at different times this season. Are you giving him a mulligan for his performance? Hugh is, Kyle is. I'm not, because it didn't strike me as anything different than what we saw, you know, a handful of times this season. I think he needs to be better if they're going to keep winning, and especially next week and the week after to win a championship. OG Wade is up on WFP. What's up, OG?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
Good, OG. What's going on?
I agree with you and Kyle. I don't need to give him a mulligan because, well, they do. But I'm saying I don't want to give him a mulligan because I don't believe he needs one. I believe that what we've seen was basically what was expected. You know what I'm saying? What was not expected was when your quarterback can perform at a low vibration like that and still get the win and still not turn the ball over, still not make the mistakes. So, coming off rusty and all this, what they want to call it, you would have probably thought he was going to throw an interception, probably fumbled the ball. You know what I'm saying? He did none of that. Took care of the ball, got the W. You know, the one thing that I can appreciate with Jalen is that he's not pressed to impress. You know what I'm saying? Like, he knows if he don't make a play here, he knows he can live to play that other down and try to make a positive play on the next one. I don't see him pressing where he's got to prove his contract, like last, you know what I'm saying, or prove to the world that he's this, that. No, he understands what he is and what he means to this team. And the one thing that we've been missing through all of this in these playoffs is that we did not have a defense that could not get off the field. Now we have that. This is the better time for Jalen to accept his role and be that, game manager, be the guy riding and all that, because so many times we watch these playoffs and these teams, and we see that, well, if this quarterback doesn't play well, this team has no chance to win.
Right, right.
That's not the case for the Eagles. If Jalen doesn't play well, we still got a chance to win. All Jalen got to do, don't turn the ball over. Don't be the reason why we lose this game. I'm good with it. You know what I'm saying? I'm over the debating and everything. And I always tell people that I believe that Jalen is the best quarterback in the league. And I say it because I always wanted someone to say, well, why do you think that? They think I say it because he throws for 5,000 yards, 40,000. No, it's what he means to their team. Remember the guy that in that last game that hit Saquon Barkley after the play, threw him down and everything?
Yep.
Did you see how enamored he was when he did that? But when Jalen got in his face, and no, it wasn't, and I can assume wasn't saying nothing disrespectful to him, but you see how he de-escalated, and then when he went to the sideline, he went back to 100 because he get cursed out by his own coaches. Jalen managed to get this guy de-escalated. That's not even his damn teammate. I'm just saying, it's little things, man, that a quarterback does that makes you know. He's that dude.
Well, he brings a lot of intangibles. I mean, he does. He's not the best quarterback in the league, but he brings a lot to the surface, to the table. I mean, he does, OG. My thing is this. At some point, they're going to need more out of the passing game, and he's going to have to do more. Maybe it wasn't last week, but at some point, they will.
I asked you this a while ago when you had that question before, right?
Mm-hmm.
When has Jalen Hurts ever needed to make a play in the passing game and wasn't, and we lost?
Well, I mean, they've lost games. I mean, like,
I know that. I know. But you
did throw a pick to end the Atlanta game.
When have we say that again?
He threw a pick to end the Atlanta game
and against Seattle last year.
Right. But that. Well, we can also debate that if Saquon don't drop that ball, he's not even throwing that.
But you set up the scenario. When is he going to have to throw? And then
I'm saying by and large, and on the average, you know what I'm saying, like. It's not – you can pick out a game, I'm sure. You know what I mean? Every quarterback, you're going to be able to do that for. But what I'm saying is that it's not his M.O. that to let us down when we need him to make a play. My point is we've seen Jalen make a play more times than not when needed for us to win.
Sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, I he's been a wing quarterback. I mean, but sometimes, you know, and OG, it's a good phone call. Sometimes you can make plays early, and then the game is different late, so you don't have to have that moment. Like, can he lead them on a 2-minute drive for you to win a game? He can. But like, if they're more effective in the second and third quarter on Sunday, we're not biting our nails with 2 minutes to go, hoping they hold on. Or you know what I mean? Like, it's not just about what you could do with 2 minutes to go. It's about how well you play the whole game.
Yeah, and I think that for the most part, coming off of concussion protocol and everything like that, I think Jalen did a pretty good job. Now, I was one of the ones that felt like he probably was going to be a little slow, you know, getting into the rhythm of the game and getting the game going and everything. And I kind of expected last week to be exactly what it was. Not a game where Jalen did a whole lot. Now, this week, the stakes are a little higher. Still not expecting Jalen to be the guy that everybody else is talking about. I think that in order to win this game, it's going to be about being physical. It's going to be about leaning on that LA Rams team, that defense, and making them fold at the end of the day like a cheap suit. Make them fold. I think that's going to be the key to this game, winning this game. That's what you're going to have to do.
So like what OG Wade and you were just talking about, really, and I'm not comparing Jalen Hurts to this guy, but it's the Tim Tebow phenomenon.
Just
play
win.
Awful the majority of the game, but magic at the end. And that was the only reason that anybody was like, well, you know, Tim Tebow can play in this league because he clutches up. I mean, there are three other quarters to a football game.
Well, and then as they play better opponents, and I know the Rams are kind of a weird thing where some people think they're dangerous, some people think not. Their quarterback is dangerous. I mean, here's what I need from Jalen on Sunday. Not his ability to win the game if it gets tight in the fourth quarter. How about play well for three? One thing I don't want Sunday is I don't want the ball in Stafford's hand down three or four with 4 minutes to go. That's a scenario I'd like to truly avoid because that guy's been through this a lot. They showed something last night, a graphic, and I know you mentioned last night he didn't have that many yards throwing, 200 or whatever. But you know, entering last night, Matthew Stafford in his career had more passing yards per game in the playoffs than anyone in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, I did see that.
I mean, it's
like
this guy's shown up in big moments. Matthew Stafford's still a dangerous quarterback.
Yeah, no question about that. And you don't want to get him going. I feel like there are going to be opportunities to get picks in this game. And I like the swagger and the bravado that the defense brings to the table. But you got to put points on the board. You have to make him throw the ball more in order to have success. Like, I feel like going into this game, our biggest asset is the physicality of our offensive line and our running back. Lean into that. I don't need Jalen. This is a game that, you know, people talk about matching up well. If you say we never take the ball first, you stop them on that first possession, and you start grinding it out by running the ball, then you put them in a position where they have to throw in volume in order to get back in the game. You do that a couple of times. You take 8-9 minutes off the clock every possession that you have. Then the first thing you know, we're in the second half. And now and if they're not getting it going, then they have to put the ball in harm's way. That changes their whole game plan. They're going to come in here and try to do the same thing that the Green Bay Packers did last week. They're going to try to slow the game down because that's our bread and butter. Even though it was tough slogging last week, Saquon still copped over 100 yards, still got over 100 yards.
Plus, they're off a short week, and Minnesota ran 71 plays last night. Now, the Rams obviously held them down. It wasn't like they were running all over the field. But their defense was on the field for 71 plays
on a short week. Lean into that. That's what you lean into. It's about strategy in the playoffs.
Coach Douglas, get ready for Sunday?
No, I'm saying because people talk about, oh, what Jalen needs to do. Jalen doesn't need to do anything but hand the ball to Saquon Barkley and make some key throws here and there. Now, we get to the NFC Championship game. That's a different animal. But in this game, if you're going out there and you're expecting him to be 100-something yards, and it might not be the case. That, why would you do that?
So you think we got one more week of this before he's got to raise his game?
I would say this. When you're in the playoffs, you play to a team's weakness more so than you probably do in the regular season. And right now, during this time of year, with everybody's banged up, we have a strong running game. And I can tell you to a man, at the further you go in these playoffs, those secondary guys, the ones that aren't used to tackling, they don't want to tackle. Nobody will. Like, no disrespect to Slay.
Uh-oh.
It's none. But Slay he's known for not wanting to make tackles. Slay was tackling his ass off this year. Slay tackles so much that every now and then he needs a couple moments. He needs some moments. Slay, if you listen, I love you to death, dog, but it's the truth. It's the fact. He gonna go in there, he gonna make a play, but he gonna take a couple off because he need to gather himself.
You're saying do that to the Rams.
Do that.
You know what I've noticed a couple times that you've said today, Hugh? I think we need to dive more in this as the week has gone on. You've talked about how the game will be at 3:00, right? So by the time we get to the second half, it's going to be dark outside. Are you asserting that the Rams are afraid of the dark?
No, I'm not asserting, but it's the temperature changes.
I know. I just like the idea that the Rams are afraid of the dark.
Because when you
look at the podcast total,
even playing on the East Coast for all the years that I played on the East Coast. When that weather changes, when it gets later, you'd be like, damn. I mean, you're used to it if you're used to it. But it's still like, damn.
Well, and this is a weird start time. I think they started this last year in the divisional round because they went that 6:30 block for the big night game. That'll be Baltimore and Buffalo Sunday evening. 3:00, you don't get many 3:00 starts in the NFL, right? We have late afternoon. Sometimes it's 4:30 yesterday or Sunday. A lot of ones, night games. 3:00, it is a weird start. So if the Rams are afraid of the dark, it starts off in the light and then it gets dark.
It's the earliest possible window for a team traveling from the West Coast to go to the East Coast. And they're on a short week.
Yeah, they don't usually put them at 1:00.
And by the way, I mean, I know they've had home games, but Cardinals, Seahawks, and then in Arizona. So they've been on the West Coast for like a month.
The body clock all off, maybe? On a short week? All right, I like that. 215-592-9494. All right, earlier we played some of Chuck and Mount Airy against Seth Joyner. How about a different morning show rivalry? What about Seth and Joe DeCamera going back and forth? Let's listen to some of this.
Seth, let's talk about the offense. What stood out to yesterday? Eagles offense.
They won the game. They won the game. Plain and simple. You know,
the defense won the game.
No, they won the game because you have to put points on the board. Guess what? If the offense doesn't put 22 points on the board and the Green Bay Packers put 10 points on the board, the way that the game goes, the Eagles lose and we don't have a game next week. See, Philadelphia, this is y'all's problem. You need to learn how to be a little more grateful for the blessings that you get. It could have easily been the other way around, that we're crying and boo-hooing and talking about Nick Sirianni's job and everything else today, rather than being grateful for the fact that we had another Sunday to play another playoff game. We want to bitch and complain about, oh, the offense only. Stop it. Stop it already.
Yeah, that's hanging. Seth.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's not going to happen. I can tell you that right now. That's not a great way to start it out, bro. I love you to death, but you know, and I know, that dog ain't going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I grateful for the offense feels like a stretch on Sunday. They had a short field, and then they score 15 points the rest of the game. I'm grateful for the team and the organization. They're back in the divisional round and maybe a conference championship. Like, they're a great organization. We all should be thankful for that. They're the best franchise in Philadelphia. But, like,
we're being honest. The offense should be grateful for the defense and Saquon Barkley.
The defense and the special teams. They took the ball away 4 times. The Eagles scored 22 points.
Yeah, that grateful dog ain't going to hunt.
Yeah, we got one more of these guys going going back and forth. Let's hear this.
You know what people do? People look at the stat line. Oh, 13 or whatever for 131 yards, and then they go blind because they don't see the damn touchdown.
Do you think
they go blind because they don't go to the end of the line and see the 111 rating.
Do you think Jalen?
You understand what I'm saying, John?
Do you think Jalen?
I told you I'm here to rescue you today, my friend.
Do you think Jalen was good yesterday?
Jalen was good enough yesterday.
I know he's good enough. Do you think
he's good enough? That's all that mattered yesterday. That's all that mattered yesterday.
Well, that's the same. Mario Chalmers was good enough because he played with LeBron, Wayne, and Bosh. Okay, but then
did they win a championship?
Yes.
Okay, then he was good enough.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean good.
He was good enough.
I agree.
Okay,
we agree.
Every year is different.
And next week, I think he'll be better.
In 2017, they were good enough to win the Super Bowl. Okay. In 2000,
so put Adam Eaton in the Phillies Hall of Fame.
21-22.
Was good enough.
Guess what? They were good enough. They were almost good enough, short by 3 points to get there. Right now, they're good enough to play next week. And guess what? Yeah. That's all the damn matters. Okay.
Well, so I agree with part of what Seth said there. But Hugh, everyone now is thinking, are they good enough to win this week and next week? It's about a championship, right? It's like, beating the Packers 22-10 is wonderful. I didn't have any doubt they're going to win that game. How about that? Jalen Hurts is the Mario Chalmers of this
Mario
group.
Mario Chalmers.
And then the Adam Eaton. That one was a little, that was a lot.
That's tough. That's tough.
Yeah, I mean, Adam Eaton got booed when he got his ring. I mean, that's Jalen's a bigger part of this than Adam.
In Philly?
Eaton.
Wow.
Yeah. The Jalen thing is so interesting, Hugh, because you look at the, and Seth brought it up, right? He had what, 111 passer rating, 2 touchdowns, no picks. You would say, that's good. It just was the way it went, right?
Six of six,
and then silent for 2 quarters, and then we pick it up again.
If it was a regular season performance, if it was early in the year coming off of the way that his season ended last year, that's a win. That's a respectable stat line for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But because the stakes are raised, the expectations are a lot higher.
So Kyle,
and that's how it works.
Yes. Kyle brought up earlier, it kind of reminded him of the Falcon playoff game, the divisional round in 2017, January of 2018, when they won with Nick Foles his first playoff game that year. And then he got hot after that and really played well. The one difference I would say, just thinking back, because that is an interesting comp, is they didn't light it up that day. They won 15-10. Hugh, I'm sure you remember it well because you were down in Atlanta then. That was the throw from Matt Ryan to Julio Jones, and he just didn't catch it.
And Foles throwing one off of Keanu Neal's knee.
The difference for me and Foles then, Hurts now, is I felt Foles was awful in the first half and played well in the second half. It kind of, he sprungboard that the way to, I think he was like 7-10 in the second half.
Sure. Hurts was like 7-8 in the fourth yesterday.
All right,
that's
fair.
In the second half.
Yeah.
He did pick it back up. Like, there was a lull in between.
In the middle.
But he did start hot and finish pretty well.
Well, I hope the comparison is spot on because that means he lights up the next 2 weeks. Like, the next 2 weeks after that weird Falcon performance, they scored like 70 points. I mean, like, if that's the comp and we're going to do it, that'd be great.
I mean, really, though, it wasn't just the Falcons game. It was the week before the Cowboys game, he only played like a drive.
Quarter drive.
They stunk. And then
the Raider
week before against the Raiders, when they still had to clinch the one seed, so that game was important. And they look terrible there, too. I mean, we were having the Sudfeld conversation.
I remember it well. Yeah, it's just like the Tanner McKee calls now. 215-592-9494. Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Dream Team, how y'all doing today?
Hey, Will. What's up?
Oh, man. Let me just start off with this, right? Mm-hmm. I've been saying this for, since the last two seasons, right? It's all about activating all your weapons and expanding the playbook. Right? So that's what we're looking for now. Because if we haven't learned from last season, if we become a one-dimensional team as far as just pounding the ball, we see the results that happen to us, right? So it's nothing wrong with pounding the ball and everything and moving the ball. But, we got to expand that playbook. And also, you have all these weapons. I was saying stuff about Dotson the whole entire year. You know what I'm saying? These are weapons that you could have been activating in the course of every game because we're going to need these type of players because these are the players that nobody is really going to look at that can do damage. But we don't look at that. We play with the same players and over and over again. You got to expand the playbook and activate the team. That's why the Lions is so great because of their strategy. Because of their playbook, because of their playmakers. They involve everybody into the game. And that's why they're so hard to stop. right? So the thing is, what I want to see from Jalen is, you know, keep playing the way you playing, bro. You get what I'm saying? I'd like to see a quarterback go through all these different coordinators and still make the playoffs. That's another thing that's not talked about a lot, right? So the thing is this if you want to compare him to Nick Foles, compare him. Because you know what I liked about Nick Foles? No matter what, during that drive, we either got a score or a field goal. That's what we want from Jalen. And you know what Jalen did last week? He did what the defense was able to give us. He looked the defense down, and whatever the defense did, he took what the defense was giving.
Yeah, and it wasn't much because they had a lot of those guys covered up, Will, including AJ, who didn't just look, he was running well. Will, good phone call there. 215-592-9494. All right, coming up, Ross Tucker, his thoughts on the game, Hurts performance, and next Sunday versus the Rams. Ross's first thoughts on the matchup, plus your phone calls on Jalen Hurts. Are you giving him a mulligan for his performance against the Packers? 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Let's talk about bacon. You know, y'all know I love me some bacon. I love especially Hatfield bacon. It's delicious, and there's so many different flavors and cuts to choose from, like hardwood smoked bacon, applewood smoked bacon, and thick-cut hardwood smoked bacon. But my absolute favorite when it comes to bacon is the extra thick-cut maple brown sugar bacon. So do yourself a favor and go get your bacon fix and get some Hatfield bacon today. Head to simplyhatfield.com and put some